Psalm 103. Mr. Spurgeon describes this as the Alps of the Psalms, and rightly so. Tremendous psalm, the pinnacle, the peak, as far as he is concerned, and who are we to argue with the great Mr. Spurgeon? If we were to take a text, it would be the words of verse number 2. We will be looking at some of these verses in this psalm this morning. We've entitled our message for this morning, Something to Shout About. Everybody's shouting today, shouting about plenty of things, getting excited about a lot of things. Well, here's something that we all have to shout about. All that God has done for us in Christ. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. With the word of God opened before us, let's just seek his help in a word of prayer. Our eternal God and our Father, we come to thee this morning, and Lord, we thank thee for thy word. We praise thee, Lord, that it is the living word of the living God. We pray, Lord, that today, by the help of the Spirit of God, that you'll be pleased to make this word live in all of our hearts. Lord, we pray that you'll take us out of the doldrums, take us away, Lord, from the weariness and the dreariness. Lord, come and excite us today, we pray, as we consider all that God in Christ has done for us. And Heavenly Father, today may we cry out even as the psalmist did, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And forget not all his benefits. O God, we pray that today as we come around the word of God, that our hearts will be blessed and encouraged. Lead us on with thyself, we pray. Give us help in the preaching and give us help in the hearing. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. For a time, David, the psalmist, turns his mind and his thoughts away from all of those things that have concerned him. He turns his mind away from all the enemies that would seek his destruction and all the opposition and all the hardship that he has had to endure over recent times. And now for a considerable period of time, he turns his meditation and his thoughts away from crying unto the Lord and praying unto the Lord. He takes somewhat of a step back here in Psalm 103 and he considers all that he has in God. It's time, I believe, when the psalmist just simply sits down and he talks to himself and he reflects within himself all the blessings that he has in Christ. And as a result, it is a time when he stirs his own heart to praise the Lord. In the previous psalm, Psalm 102, David talks about being in trouble. You'll see there in verse number 2, he says, hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. In verse number 4 of Psalm 102, he says, my heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I may forget to eat bread. He is so overcome, he can't even eat. It's this David who has confessed his sin, who has prayed, who has fasted, who has begged God to spare his son, and yet went out to bury that same son. It is this David who saw another one of his sons, Absalom, rise up in rebellion and seek to take away his father's kingdom. Oh, those were times that broke the heart of the man of God. Times when he was at a very low point in his life. Times when it seemed that trouble seemed to pile upon trouble. Times when he was on the run from Saul, and that time when he was in that cave at Adullam, and he felt so all alone. And he felt there was really no purpose, no point in going on. Times when he forgot all that he had in God. Isn't it true, folks, that the circumstances and the trials of life and the afflictions that we have to endure have an effect upon our souls, that we can lose sight of all that we are and all that we have in the Lord? David says such in Psalm 103. Because in verse number 2 he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. You see, there is the great reality of forgetting all that God has done for us. Yet even when David is at such a low point, he takes time out to think and to consider and to ponder upon the Lord. He stirs his heart now to praise the Lord, and he turns his mind away from all that is presently going on in his life, and he remembers the greatest blessing in his life, and that is to know God. That is to have this personal relationship with him. You see, if we fail to give thanks to God for what he has done for us, if we neglect to shout about the Lord and all his blessings to us in our lives personally, then we will quickly forget what he has done for us. That's why the psalmist here takes time out to thank the Lord, because he fears by not thanking the Lord, he would forget what God has done. And even though David has much to pray about, yet David realized that he has much more to shout about. Very simply this morning, by way of assistance and, I trust, assurance to hard-pressed believers right now, passing through dark and difficult valleys in your life, enduring difficult days, and yea, even sleepless nights, let's just take time out this morning to remember all we have in God. Let's cause our hearts to be encouraged and quickened as we consider all that he has done for us. And may God's word come with comfort, encouragement to the hearts of his people today. But may it also come with challenge to the hearts of those who are here without Christ, unsaved and unprepared to meet God, that you may see as we go through this message today all that you do not have in Christ, all that you're missing out on as you live in your sin. Something to shout about. What have we to shout about? Well, first of all, we have to shout because we are favored by the Lord. We are favored by the Lord. This is a psalm. Psalm 103 is a psalm full of the favors of God toward his people. This is a psalm replete with the blessings that God has given to his people. Now, let me just point out something here right at the very outset. This is a psalm full of Christ. This is a psalm speaking of the great work of Christ. As we'll go on to look at the verses 3 and 4 and verse 5 and all those verses that speak of what the child of God has, we all have it because of Christ. This is a psalm, yes, to thrill the heart of the psalmist, but most of all, this is a psalm to exalt the name of the Lord. This is not a psalm to make David feel good. This is a psalm to exalt and to bless the name of the Lord. You notice that emphasis throughout this psalm. It's all on the Lord. You notice the constant use in what in grammatical terms is referred to as the definite article, the Lord, referring to one individual, definite, specific person, the Lord. Notice how throughout the psalm as well, all the use of those pronouns, who and he, all referring back to the Lord. It's all about the Lord. This is a psalm that's about the Lord. Primarily, it's about him. Notice right at the very start of this psalm, the psalmist, before he thanks God for his blessings, he first of all thanks God for his being. Look what he says in verse number 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Here he is exalting the Lord for who he is. Here he is blessing the Lord for who he is before he exalts the Lord for what he has done. The Apostle Paul was in a similar line of thought when he wrote to the Ephesians. And he said, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." You see, all the blessings that we have come to us through that fountainhead of our union with Christ. That's why we bless his holy name. And so David here blesses the name of the Lord. That name of God embraces all that God is. All his holiness, all his justice, all his righteousness, his perfections, his purity, his power. They're all summed up in that holy name, that name which is above every name. You see, here's this man of God, and he's preaching to a congregation of one. He's preaching to himself. He's alone with God, and he stirs himself to think upon the name of his God. He thinks about the sacred persons of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That blessed trinity of persons, our triune God, which underpins and affirms our very salvation and our existence. He thinks upon that unity that exists within the Godhead, that harmony that exists within heaven. How that the Father planned all that he goes on to talk about, the forgiveness of sins and such like. How that the Son purchased redemption. How that the Holy Spirit then applies redemption. He thinks about the Father who is the all-powerful God. He thinks about the Father who is El Shaddai, the Almighty God. He thinks about the Father who is Elohim, the Creator God. He thinks about the Father who is El Elyon, the Most High God, the possessor of all heaven and earth. He thinks about the Father who is the Jehovah God, the one who keeps his word and keeps his covenant. He thinks about the Son. He thinks about the Son who is the full and the final revelation of God to man. The Son who was set apart and anointed for service. Oh, surely the very name of Christ ought to bring such joy and comfort to the hearts of his people. His name, Emmanuel, God with us. He who is our mediator in order to reconcile us to God. He who fulfills and executes all those roles as our mediator, our prophet, our priest, and our king. That lovely name, Jesus, Savior, Redeemer. As Paul says, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. He thinks about the name of the Holy Spirit, our Comforter, our Paraclete. That one alongside to help the heavenly dove, the dew of heaven to our souls. The one who dwells within us. The one who works God's grace within us. The one who leads us. And to think of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Trinity of persons. Triune God, and to be able to say this God is our God. This God is our God. He will be our guide unto death. Then surely, before we go any further today, when we think of who God is and his blessed names and his blessed persons, then we've got cause before we go any further to bless his holy name. Then turning to what he has done, the favor he has shown towards his people, it's all summed up there in that word in verse number 2, benefits. Benefits. The word benefit there means to give to someone. It means to treat someone well. It means to deal with them in a remarkable way. Paul speaks about this when he says, and talks about the living God who hath given us richly all things to enjoy. How that every good and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You see, all the favors that we have in life are given to us from God. All the favors of nature, all the favors of providence, all the favors of us, of especially salvation, as we'll go on to consider. God has favored his creation and his creatures in a most remarkable way. There is what is often referred to as the common grace of God. That God is good to all. He says such in Psalm 145, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Christ himself, speaking on the Sermon on the Mount, he said, he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, the rain on the just and the unjust. God is good to all. And should you be here today without the Savior, you know nothing of this salvation that we'll go on in a moment to consider, where we especially see the favor of God, should you not have the Lord in your heart today, yet the Lord is good. The Lord is good to you. You see, it's the Lord God who gave you strength to rise this morning. It was God who in grace gave you breath to live this morning. It was God in grace who gave you protection to be here this morning. All the favors of God, we could go on. And yet the tragedy is the sinner, by their willful rebellion and rejection, does not see the favor and the goodness of God. You do not wish to acknowledge how God has been good to you and how you've been favored by God in ways you don't even know it. But common grace is not saving grace. Common grace will never save a soul. Yes, God has been good. God has benefited you. God has favored you with health and strength, with life, with energy and with shelter and all of that. All of those things come from him. In fact, everything you have comes from him. But that common grace is not saving grace, and there's a vast difference. Because you see, there's a world out there, and they're willing to take all from God, but not willing to give him anything. Not willing to acknowledge the hand of God in all of his dealings. Or willing to rise up against God and slander the name of God, and yet not willing to bless the name of God who has given us all things richly to enjoy. That's why we need to consider all that God has done for us. His favor and his blessing toward us. But notice where this really starts. Notice that little phrase in verse 1 and verse 2 and throughout the psalm as well. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You see, folks, we can have it up here. And we can have education, instruction. We can have it all. But if it has never reached our heart, if it has never pondered within our hearts what God has done for us, then we will not, like the psalmist here, bless the Lord with our souls. What is our souls? It's that immaterial, invisible part of our being. It's the very fabric of who we are. It's the seat of all our affections and all our personalities. The entirety of our being is our soul. And when our souls are taken up with what God has done for us, and when we consider all that God has done for us, then we will bless his name. You see, it's not about blessing the Lord from the lips. That's easy. But that changes. It's about blessing the Lord from right within us. They that worship the Lord must worship him in spirit and in truth. Did you come to God's house today with that spirit to thank the Lord, to praise him? Because you have been favored by the Lord? We don't have time to consider all the favors of God today. They are vast. They are immeasurable. But why don't you just sit down a little later today, count your many blessings, and surely it will surprise you what the Lord has done for you. We have something to shout about today because we are favored by the Lord. But here's where we really want to get to today. We have something to shout about because we are forgiven by the Lord. Look in verse number 3. Bless the Lord, verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Folks, here's the crowning glory of God's favor to man, salvation, forgiveness. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. We're not talking here about physical health, but rather about the spiritual state of the unregenerate, unsaved soul before God. Here is the greatest benefit of grace. That soul that is sick with sin. That soul that is stained with sin. That is soul that is separated from God because of sin can be forgiven by God through Christ. You see, there is no greater blessing. There's no greater favor in this life than to know God's forgiveness. There is no greater blessing that you will ever have this side of eternity than to be pardoned by God. And notice this forgiveness, it is the prerogative of the Lord. It is not the right of man. Verse number 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquity? Man today will say that he should be pardoned. Man today will say that he should be forgiven. We deserve nothing from God, least of all his forgiveness, least of all his pardon. But this forgiveness is the prerogative of the Lord, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. It comes from him. We are forgiven not on man's terms, but rather we are forgiven on the Lord's terms. Verse 3 is very clear about the problem that exists within man. He talks about iniquities, talks about diseases. Man's greatest issue today, man's greatest difficulty today is that of sin, iniquity. That word iniquity there, it's an even more pointed word than sin. It means evil, it means a great fault, it means something which is twisted and something which is distorted. And isn't that a picture of sin? How that sin distorts, how that sin twists, how that sin makes a mess of life. We must never shy away from the problem that exists within the heart. That terminal illness which abides within the hearts of all men, that is of sin, iniquity. And what is the effect of it? Well, Isaiah sums it up very well when he says, your sins have separated you from God, and your sin have hid his face from you. Sin separates from God, and sin silences God to your heart. And you see, until that sin is forgiven by God, then that is the state in which the sinner will continue. It is the Lord who forgives our sin. But there must be on our part that ownership, that acknowledgement that we are sinners in the sight of a holy God. There is forgiveness with God that he may be feared. But where there is no fear of God, and where there is no fear of the holiness and the justice of God, then the sinner will never realize that they need their sins forgiven. But for those who do fear God today, for those who have a holy reverence and awe for the Lord, then there is forgiveness. Symptomatic of our society today that there's absolutely no fear of a holy God. There's no shame in sin today. There's no blushing over sin today. Oh, there's a pride and there's an arrogance about sin. But you see, that soul that has been awakened by the free grace of God to see his nature, to see his Saviour, the soul who flees to God for pardon will be forgiven. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You see, the greatest problem in your life can be dealt with and dealt with entirely through repentance and faith in the finished work of Christ, God's Son on the cross. We were singing that verse, that great hymn, My Sin. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to his cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. As we have often said, especially on Thursday nights, if folks, we have nothing to pray for and we have lots to pray for, we have much to praise the Lord for. The fact that we are forgiven of God. Look in verse 10. Look what he says there in verse 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Aren't you glad verse 10's in the Bible? See the unmerited mercy and grace of God. You see, if God had dealt with us as our sins deserved, we would have nothing to shout about. There would be no Psalm 103. There would be no psalmist blessing the Lord. There would be no book of Psalms. In fact, there would be no book of God. Because what is the whole book of God about from Genesis to Revelation? It's all about how man can be reconciled to God. And where does that all base itself on? On the mercy and the grace and the goodness of God. So praise God, he hasn't dealt with us after our sins or rewarded us according to our iniquities, because we would be damned the day we were born. His mercy is immense. Verse 11, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As high as the heaven is above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Look at that word removed, verse 12. Underline it, circle it, highlight it. Thank God for it. Dear child of God, today, because of Christ, because of the forgiveness of sins, our sins are removed. Is that not worth shouting about? Is that not worth praising the Lord about? We who were bound for a lost eternity, our sins have been removed because of the mercy of God, which is immeasurable and which is immense. And we thank God today that he hasn't dealt with us after our sins or rewarded us according to our iniquities. As Isaiah says, our sins have been cast behind his back. And what God has forgiven, God has forgotten. I know that there are many burdens and many trials that press upon the hearts of God's people from time to time. There were certainly many great trials for the psalmist David. Many times when he felt so all alone, many times when he was afflicted. What does he do? What does he do here in Psalm 103? What does he do as well in other passages of Scripture? He encourages himself in the Lord. And folks, may we always seek to encourage ourselves, not in our circumstances or what we have to pass through, but may we encourage ourselves in the Lord. May we realize today that our sins are forgiven. He hath forgiven all our iniquities. He hath healed all our diseases. He hath removed our transgressions from us as far as the east is from the west. We are favored by the Lord. That's worth shouting about. But even greater than that, we have something more to shout about. We are forgiven by the Lord. Did you tell anybody this week that you're forgiven by the Lord? Did you tell anybody this week that you are a child of God and that they need to be forgiven as well? We are favored by the Lord. We are forgiven by the Lord. But something more that we have to shout about, and that is that we have a future with the Lord. Look at verse 4. Verse 4, he says, "Who," again, speaking of the Lord, "who redeemeth thy life from destruction?" We have a future with the Lord. Child of God today, we have a future that is bright. You see, the moment we were born, we were bound for destruction. Sin leads the sinner to destruction. Sinner leads the sinner to a lost eternity. The wise man in the book of Proverbs said that there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. And that's what's in view here in verse number 4, but it's in view in a positive way. Sinner, in this meeting today, unconverted, unregenerate, still in sin, out of Christ, your pathway, the pathway that you're on right now, leads to destruction. Not annihilation, destruction. You're bound for that place where the fire is not quenched, where the worm dies not. Your ways lead there, and only the grace of God can prevent you from going there. Unless your sins have been forgiven by God through Christ, then destruction, eternal punishment in hell will be your lot in death. But for every child of God today, here's the blessed reality. We are forgiven. Here's one of the results of our forgiveness. We are redeemed from destruction and we're bound for heaven. Our future is secure with Christ. You don't need to worry about the future. You don't need to worry about what goes on up ahead. Today, our lives are redeemed. Our lives are hid with God in Christ, all through his finished work on the cross. In Christ's great high priestly prayer in John 17, as he comes to the close of that prayer, he utters many great words throughout that entire chapter. But listen to what he prays to the Father concerning his children about. He says in verse 24 of John 17, "Father, I will. I will that thou whom thou hast given me be with me. I will that thou whom thou hast given me be with me. That they may behold my glory." Child of God, we have been given to Christ by God. We are hid in Christ. We are forgiven through Christ. And we are safe and secure in Christ. And all that the Father has given to the Son will never be lost. You're saved today. Your sins are forgiven today. Cleansed and washed in the blood of the Lamb today. Then your life is saved from destruction. Is that not worth shouting about? Is that not worth going out into the streets of this city and telling others that there's a future that is bright through Christ? Because listen, folks, there are plenty of the cults going round the streets of our city, propounding a false gospel and a false hope. And here we have today this tremendous reality in verse number 4 Our lives are redeemed from destruction. And we need to tell it to others. And we need to go out and seek to tell others that their life can be redeemed from destruction as well. That's why we preach the gospel. That's why we're not ashamed of the gospel. And that's why with every breath that the Lord gives us, we will seek to preach the word of God. Because we have something this world needs. This world today languishing in sin. And there is no hope. People today have no future. Young people especially. And they see no future in this life. Older people who, middle-aged people who believe all hope is gone. Here today, we have been favored by God. We have been forgiven by God. We have a future with the Lord. Is it not then our responsibility to go and tell others? The words of that little chorus, it is no secret what God can do. Listen, what God has done for you, God can do for others. Let's not keep the gospel a secret. Let's not hide the gospel because of our gospel. It's hid from those that are lost. But let's go, especially as we come up to these missions in the Branuil and over in Tullycarnet as well. Let's go with the gospel. And tell others. We have something to shout about. David realized that even in the midst of all of his afflictions and all of his troubles, he was blessed more than the ungodly who hounded him. He says, my life is redeemed from destruction. And one day, he would go to be with Christ. Death is simply summed up, I believe, in those two little words, with Christ. That's it. With Christ. Yes, in heaven there'll be many things that we'll behold, we'll want to behold, and many sights that will startle us and astound us. But the greatest thing about heaven is that Christ is there. Our Redeemer is there. And dear child of God, today, because we are in Christ, one day we'll be with Christ. And we'll never be lost. Those who are forgiven of God in this life, they will never be forsaken of God in death. You see, we're not saved by our hold on the Lord. That's where so many get it wrong. And many people today are plagued, and I understand that. Am I really saved? Have I done enough to merit salvation? Folks, we could never do enough to merit salvation. We could never do enough to keep salvation. Works don't follow salvation. Works don't merit salvation, but they are important. But of works themselves, we are not kept by works. We're kept by Christ. It's not our hold of Christ that keeps us in death. It's His hold of us. When it comes our time to leave this world behind, He'll simply take us by the hand, hold us, and bring us to the promised land. Is that not worth shouting about today? Many people are getting excited about all things that are happening in this world. There's many voices been raised, much is being said today. And sadly, the Church of Jesus Christ is silent. Folks, we have got something to shout about. We have been favored by the Lord. We've been forgiven by the Lord. And we have a future
with the Lord. But let me ask you, what is your future? Where is your future today? Do you have this assurance? Can you bless the Lord with all your soul that your sins have been forgiven, that your life has been redeemed from destruction, and many, many other things? One sermon will not be enough to cover Psalm 103. Probably a lifetime ministry wouldn't be enough to cover it all. Do you have this hope? Do you have this assurance? Are you in Christ? Are your sins forgiven? Well, if not, thank God today they can be. You're not ready for heaven, you're bound for hell. Well, praise God, today you can be. And you can know all the blessings of God in salvation if you will but come to Jesus Christ today and be saved. We have more than this world can ever offer. We have more than this world will ever give. Oh, dear, dear unconverted today, come to Christ. He'll satisfy thy mouth with good things. And dear child of God, today let's remember again and again all that we have. And let's tell it to others. Let's shout from the rooftops that we have been forgiven and favored by the Lord. Let's bow in prayer.